A reading from the second book of Maccabees. It happened that seven brothers with their mother were arrested and tortured with whips and scourges by the king to force them to eat pork in violation of God's law. Most admirable and worthy of everlasting remembrance was the mother, who saw her seven sons perish in a single day, yet bore it courageously because of her hope in the Lord. Filled with a noble spirit that stirred her womanly heart with manly courage, she exhorted each of them in the language of their ancestors with these words: "I did not know how you came into existence in my womb. It was not I that gave you the breath of life, nor was it I who set in order the elements of which each of you is composed. Therefore, since it is the creator of the universe who shapes each man's beginning, as he brings about the origin of everything, he, in his mercy, will give you back both breath and life, because you now disregard yourselves for the sake of his law." Antiochus, suspecting insult in her words, thought he was being ridiculed. As the youngest brother was still alive, the king appealed to him, not with mere words, but with promises on oath, to make him rich and happy if he would abandon his ancestral customs. He would make him his friend and entrust him with high office. When the youth paid no attention to him at all, the king appealed to the mother, urging her to advise her boy to save his life. After he had urged her for a long time, she went through the motions of persuading her son. In derision of the cruel tyrant, she leaned over close to her son and said in their native language, "Son, have pity on me, who carried you in my womb for 9 months, nursed you for 3 years, brought you up, educated and supported you to your present age. I beg you, child, to look at the heavens and the earth and see all that is in them. Then you will know that God did not make them out of existing things, and in the same way the human race came into existence. Do not be afraid of this executioner, but be worthy of your brothers and accept death, so that in the time of mercy I may receive you again with them." She had scarcely finished speaking when the youth said, "What are you waiting for? I will not obey the king's command. I obey the command of the law given to our fathers through Moses. But you, who have contrived every kind of affliction on the Hebrews, will not escape the hands of God." The word of the Lord. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. Hear, O Lord, a just suit. Attend to my outcry. Hearken to my prayer from lips without deceit.
Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full.
My steps have been steadfast in your paths. My feet have not faltered. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my word.
Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full.
Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. But I, in justice, shall behold your face on waking. I shall be content in your presence.
Lord, when your glory
appears. Thank you. Dominus vobiscum.
Et spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
While people were listening to Jesus speak, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God would appear there immediately. So he said, a nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins and told them, engage in trade with these until I return. His fellow citizens, however, despised him and sent a delegation after him to announce, we do not want this man to be our king. But when he returned after obtaining the kingship, he had the servants called to whom he had given the money to learn what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones. He replied, well done, good servant. You have been faithful in this very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities. Then the second came and reported, your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more. And he said to this servant too, you take charge of 5 cities. Then the other servant came and said, sir, here is your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a demanding man. You take up what you did not lay down, and you harvest what you did not plant. He said to him, with your own words I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew I was a demanding man, taking up what I did not lay down, and harvesting what I did not plant. Why did you not put my money in a bank? Then on my return I would have collected it with interest. And to those standing by he said, take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10. But they said to him, sir, he has 10 gold coins. He replied, I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, as for those enemies of mine who did not want me as their king, bring them here and slay them before me. After he had said this, he proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. Verbum Domini. God's love for us is beyond what we could ever imagine or even comprehend. God loves us so much that he gives us life, that he's called us to himself for eternal purposes. Purposes, of course, in this temporal life, but also with him for all eternity. And in this love for us, he is not only giving us his life, but he's also sustaining it. This is unconditional love. And God loves us so much that he doesn't force himself on us. He gives us free will. And with God and his love for us, he entrusts us with gifts, with skills, with talents. And best of all, he gives us the free gift of his grace. Now we think, God, who gives us so much, wants us to do something with what he gives us. However, sometimes we could be influenced by some of the ways of the world, some of the trends and means of the world, that we don't give God the full glory he asks. Well, Jesus assures us today that here is a God who loves us, and here is a God who trusts us with these gifts, with his grace. And like we always know, God is always there to help us. So we take a look here at this reading. And here, first of all, is that they're wanting the kingdom of God. They're asking questions about the kingdom of God. And at this point in the life of Jesus, he is headed toward Jerusalem. Oh, this is Luke chapter 19. He is going in that direction. And soon he will lay down his life for love of us. So in doing this, you know, as we know of the Last Supper, you know, Jesus tells the disciples that he's going to give them his Spirit. The Spirit of God will come upon them, and, you know, they will be anointed to go forth and to proclaim the kingdom of God. That's the true coming of the kingdom of God is Jesus. And what Jesus who comes, who's everything about the kingdom of God, and then Jesus who gives us life through the Holy Spirit so that we can go and proclaim the kingdom like him and in his name. So that's what he's going about to tell the disciples. But, of course, before here in this parable, he speaks about his giving and how he trusts us with these gifts and with these graces. Now, here you have three people who were given money. No one, there was one who took the money, and he was able to invest that. And in that investment, there was 10 more. And then the one with five, he had five, so there was five more. But then there was another one who didn't do anything. And this is the one who receives the punishment afterward. So here we are in our own lives, God who entrusts us with everything. And when we all have these gifts, and you see what happens here very often is that in the world, of course, we want to accomplish. We want to work hard. We want to achieve goals and everything. And that's wonderful. That's fine. And we should. And God expects us to do that with the gifts he's given us. Now, there are some of us who may be more gifted in certain areas than others. This could be, of course, in different skills, skills that we take to professions. This could be those who are academic. You know, I mean, all of us, you know, can learn. There are some that are just so much more intelligent, brighter than others. That's what it is. You know, then there's even athletics. In athletics, you know, you have some of these athletes who just appear to be born to play a particular sport. You know, same with musicians, and we can go on and on and on. You know, they just have these natural talents about them. Well, what happens often is that we see those who are so talented that we say, well, you know, I just don't have those talents. And, you know, we look at ourselves because we may think we have very little. And sadly is that we could even fall into a little bit of self-pity, you know, feel sorry for ourselves because we don't have what they have. Now, and this also includes the spiritual life. Now, there are some people who it's just like natural and easy for them for them to pray. Others to be silent and be quiet and be still. You know, some people don't always, aren't always like that. They're kind of just wired. You know, it's hard for them to stay still. You know, so they think, well, okay, well, I'm not like them. Oh, you know, poor me, and I can't pray, and all of this, this, blah, 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 blah. You know, well, we shouldn't fall into that trap there, that I'm not capable of. I don't have skills. Because, you know, even if God, like here, you know, just give us one thing, he just wants us to do the best with what we have. And in doing the best with what we have, he multiplies it over time. That's just his goodness there, his generosity. But he wants us to do something. Just do your best with what you have. Another thing here is that when skills and talents and things, but then there's a gift of God's grace. Now, we receive grace upon grace. You know, God calls us to share in his glory. And as St. Paul says, we go from glory to glory to glory. This is growing in the Lord. And to grow in this way, it begins when we receive the sacraments of initiation, baptism, the Holy Eucharist, confirmation, but especially at baptism, because that's where we enter deeply into the grace of the Lord, where we come to share in the mysteries of his life, death, and resurrection. And in baptism, we are also anointed to share in the threefold ministry of Jesus as priest, prophet, and king. Yesterday, I was talking about the two saints, the basilicas we celebrated, Peter and Paul. And I mentioned there that here are two disciples who knew the grace that the grace they had. You know, they knew what was in them, the Holy Spirit. And they knew that the promises of these grace that came with it, that they had power, they had the love of the Lord to go out and glorify him, to proclaim him. And so here is something, again, that we need to be more mindful of, more aware of, that God has given me the grace to have his life, divine life and divine love, and even to share in his threefold ministry. Well, as we're saying, some of these things come easier to some than to others. Just do your best with what you have. You know, there's an understanding of these graces, and I will just be brief with this, but as priest, prophet, and king, and the priest, it's about giving ourselves, offering ourselves for love of God, for love of him, and of course, for love of our neighbor, in imitation of Jesus. This prophetic gift is to take the word of God, to savor it, and then to go out and live it in word and in deed. And it's this kingly authority we have, it is to of course, first of all, to take reign over ourselves. Well, first to receive Jesus Christ as King and Lord of our lives, then to take reign of ourselves, our sinful nature, our passions, our flesh, our appetites, to have that as under control. This is sharing in the kingly office of Jesus in this. And then to be good stewards of what we have, the skills, the gifts, especially the graces, the time the Lord gives us. And then to be good stewards, of course, to what God has given to us in this earth, that we preserve it, we maintain it for future generations. So all this God gives to us. This is why it could seem, wow, this is overwhelming. Well, yeah, it is. But here is Jesus. Here is him who has showed us how to live these gifts. And Jesus is not like some mean ruler in all this and so demanding. No, he came to help us. Remember, he came to save us, you know, to rescue us from sin and death. You know, when somebody rescues you and someone's, they're there to help you. They're gentle. They're kind. No, and this is the way the Lord is with us. So here we are, given so much, and God has called us and entrusted us with this and expects us to use it for his glory, whatever we have, not just, again, in this temporal life, but for eternal purposes. We are made special to him. You know, this is a relationship, a personal one, that goes again into eternity. So now, we use everything we have for God. And with Jesus, with him helping us, we know that we can do all things in him. God bless you all.